In a world where action films are dumped in theaters and TV, dead on arrival.
I can't go on living this lie!
You need a hero.
Last time I trusted someone, I lost an eye.
You need a helper.
Hello, hello, nothing to see here.
You need a healer.
That is affirmative.
You need...
We're on the air.
Professor Rick's Action Film Autopsy.
Hey everybody, Rick Myers, Action Film Autopsy. We're here again at the Icon 32. And I'm talking now to Drew Hendrickson.
Hello, sir. Good to see you again.
Introduce yourself. Tell the listeners who you are.
Okay, my name is Drew Hendrickson.
I just said that.
I was testing you, sir, passed the test successfully. See, I am a teacher. I teach forensics for both high school and for Syracuse University. I'm also the published novelist of a whole trilogy, the Dragon Tales and Stories trilogy. I'm a screenwriter. I try to do stunt works and fight scenes on film.
You don't try, you do.
Yes, I do.
We met at?
We originally met at an Icon many years ago when we were on the martial arts panel.
That's right. And then we met again at the Urban Action Showcase, right?
Yes, we did, where my friend Alfredo Quinones had invited me to go see some trailers there, and he had a few films in there in years past.
Yeah. So how did you get from, first of all, tell them about your forensics.
Well, I used to run a hospital laboratory, and then I went into teaching, and it qualified me to teach forensics for Syracuse University. So my school district for a summer sent me up to Syracuse University, where I took graduate classes and became certified as an adjunct in forensic science. Now, forensic science is an applied science. You really don't go to school to study forensics, even though now they do have programs. You become a scientist. Instead of using that science for the medical field or for research purposes, you use it for a court of law. Forensics is defined as applying science to a court of law.
Right. But meanwhile, I met you through Kung Fu and Kung Fu films, martial art movies.
Yep.
And your stunt work. Now, how did you get from forensics to stunt work and love of action film?
Because, well, I've always loved action films, and I was taking Kempo classes for years, too. So to improve my writing, because since I love science so much, I love writing science fiction.
There you go.
So to get people to read my science fiction work more and to get onto movie sets more, I took up stunt work.
You took up stunt work.
So I went to a stunt training camp taught by Michael DePasquale Jr.
Oh, Michael DePasquale Jr., yep.
And that got me onto movie sets, and then that helped me out with connections with writing. So then I started writing sci-fi novels. My sci-fi novels actually got published. Yes, and they're not so published, folks. They're actually published. And that got me into the wonderful world of Icon, where I got to meet the likes of masters such as yourself.
Oh, I wouldn't. No, I'm not a master, but anyway, I'm Dr. Strange. I'm not even a doctor. Are you a doctor?
No, I just have a master's degree.
There you go. You are a master. You're not a doctor. But in any case, so you always loved action films. What was your first favorite? What's your memory of the first action film that really got you excited?
Believe it or not, it was an old western.
I believe it.
From back in the late '60s, there was a movie called Rough Night in Jericho.
Oh, yeah. Dean Martin, right?
Dean Martin. And there was a good character actor by the name of Steve Sandor.
Mm-hmm.
And he played one of the bad guys. And I remember at the end, he was in this fight scene, and then was in this gunfight scene where he got shot like 6 times, but he wouldn't go down. And I'm like, that's what I want to be when I grow up. You're sitting there in a saloon, chugging beers, hanging out with saloon girls, and then you die in a gunfight. That's what I want to do. Well, not exactly.
Not in real life.
Not even.
In a movie.
In a movie, yes, in a movie. My goal is to still die in a saloon shootout. I've been squibbed many, many times. My prop shoulder holster is like completely red underneath.
Wow.
Because I got squibbed so many times.
So how long have you been stunting?
About 15 years now.
Really?
Yes.
And how did you start with that? I mean, what was your first stunt job?
My first stunt job was actually on a movie called A Merry Little Christmas, where I actually got to tackle comedian Adam Ferrara, who's now on Top Gear.
Right.
And I had to go tackle him But like after I tackled him, I had to arch my back because like six other guys then piled up on top of me.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And then that was my first. My second stunt gig was in a short film by the name of Cold Feet, Wet Dreams in the Kitchen Sink, where I played a giant squid in an axe fight.
In an axe fight?
And I was a squid in an axe fight. I lost, but the writer, Tae Zung, is now a writer for Gotham.
Oh, wow. There you go.
So he turned out, it was actually a very funny movie. That yeah. you can actually look up on YouTube.
Yeah, we will.
And I'm the squid with the axe.
I'm the squid with the axe.
Not the squid with the lead pipe. That was right. my friend Christopher Abel.
Now, where were you in the forensic business while you were doing that?
I was teaching at Fort Syracuse University, and this is my night job. So I would get off from work at 2:30 in the afternoon, drive to Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and we did the fight scenes on the docks. I would get home at like 4 in the morning, get an hour's sleep, then go back to
school. Go back to school.
And what really was good and bad at the same time was like the next year, I actually had a recurring role on the TV show Kings.
Kings.
With Ian McShane.
Oh, yeah, Kings.
And I never had lines, but I was one of the background generals. So I was in lots and lots of scenes with him and Miguel Ferrer, who just passed away.
Yes.
And that's another one. I used to get off from work, go into Manhattan, and then come home and go directly to work.
Wow, that's dedication.
It's fun. It's something I want to do. And you're not going to achieve anything if you don't
put yourself
go
out.
For it.
Yeah, but right. you achieved a bunch of stuff that's so diverse. I mean,
why,
writing,
thank you.
Stunting, and forensics.
Yeah, multiple personality disorder, you know.
You're good.
It comes in, it's yeah. like I dated Sybil for years, but I broke up with her, so.
Yeah,
you know.
She was just too much.
She was all over the place, man.
Yeah, I figured. Now, let's get back to movies.
Okay.
You know, so Western was the first one that got you going. Did you follow Westerns, or did you do all sorts of
things? I was following the old Westerns on the 4:30 movie here yeah. in New York. They used to have the 4:30 movies.
Right.
And then, like, I used to love, like, the action shows
yeah.
at night. Like, the old 1970s Quinn Martin production
yeah.
action things. And I always rooted for the thugs. I always rooted for the henchmen.
Right.
You know.
Of course, you'd hold on for a second. Oops. Anyway, so yeah, so you were following the action stuff at night, the Quinn Martins. I mean,
yeah.
the Quinn Martins that I remember were the FBI and Barnaby Jones.
Yes, I love, like, Barnaby Jones, Cannon,
yeah.
and I always thought it was funny, like, seeing, like, really, really old Buddy Epson just, like, kicking the crap out of, like, these 20-year-old henchmen,
yeah.
you know. And
well, he never did that.
Yeah.
His young henchmen. Actually, that was more of a cerebral show, and it was funny to watch something like Cannon,
yeah.
where you have the 300-pound William Conrad running after people, trying to be an action star. And it was much better with, what was that movie? The Something and the Fat Man? Jake and the Fat Man. Where we had that great guy who would actually do the actual
Yeah, thing. Joe Penny,
that's good. Come back.
Oh, I know my. If I only remembered the periodic table as well as I remember movie trivia.
Oh, you're better at movie trivia?
I am better at movie trivia than I am at science trivia. You know, I'm good at both.
All right, what's your favorite trivia question?
Well, my favorite trivia actually
that you used to stump people.
It's actually not movie. It's a song. Let's see.
Oh,
who sang backup for Carly Simon when she sang "You're So Vain"?
Betty Davis. Bette Midler?
No, it was Mick Jagger.
All right, I got you, but now let's get into the stuff that I do know.
Okay.
Who created The Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
Who created The Man from
U.N.C.L.E.? Or specifically, Napoleon Solo.
Who created Napoleon Solo?
Oh, you don't know?
Stumping, sir.
It's really super simple. Ian Fleming.
Ian Fleming.
The creator of James Bond. All right, so enough with our trivia. Yeah, you suck at trivia, man.
Hey,
you're better at forensics.
Okay. Yes. Well, when it comes to forensics, who discovered penicillin?
Pasteur.
Fleming.
Ian Fleming.
It was Alexander Fleming.
Oh, is he related?
He's Ian's younger brother. No, I'm kidding. They weren't related, but right. It was another Fleming. There are Flemings all over the place.
That's right.
They had a daughter by cloning named Peggy.
She won multiple awards. Now you're just having fun with them.
Yeah.
Well, let's go on with action films.
Okay.
It's the action film autopsy.
Okay.
What was it about action things that really spoke to you?
I hate to say it, but the violence. I love, you know, but expressing...
That's honest. That's
but,
great.
Expressing, you know, not just sitting there, because I think of myself as intellectual, but yeah. Sometimes people just don't listen. And if somebody else is going to be harmed,
yes.
You know, you want to see somebody stand up for them.
Yeah.
Even though I always, like, rooted for the bad guys.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, it's like the bad guys always seem to have more fun, where the good guys are like, you know, they're going to church socials, they're singing with, like, a choir, where, you know, like I said, the bad guys, they're like, hanging out with women, you know, they're drinking, they're driving, they always drove the hotter cars.
Yeah.
The muscle cars, so it's like, you know, I love that visceral. It's my Y chromosome expressing itself.
There we go. But in fiction.
Yeah.
In reality, bad guys are really scumbags.
No, it's like... And I've met them, unfortunately.
Yeah.
9 years I was a volunteer EMT, and I got to see some seedy people.
Yeah, and some bad stuff.
But good stuff. I got to deliver a baby once.
Well, that's awesome. But now, let's get back
to action movies.
Fictional violence.
Ooh, fictional violence.
You know, because that's one of the reasons that this podcast exists. I'm tired of seeing bad fight scenes.
I'm tired of seeing the group fights where one attacker attacks the person at a time. It's like, okay, I'll fight this person singularly, now this person singularly. I've seen fights at my place of employment, and no, they all gang up at once, I hate seeing the overly choreographed fight scene.
Yeah.
You know, where you can see... You know, I loved Walker, Texas Ranger. That was like one of my... But, oh my God, it's like 90-pound near people taking on linebackers.
Yeah.
You know, in...
That's been, a matter of fact, we're going to be talking eventually, we may have already talked about it, depending on how I schedule this episode, about Iron Fist, the new Netflix Marvel thing that, again, has this tiny, little, thin actress playing a martial artist who take on these 250-pound, muscle-bound, 6'5" bruisers, and fighting exactly the way they fight, with fists and anger and muscles beating them. And it's like, I'm sorry, that's not particularly credible. And that happens a lot.
And I do realize with fantasy and stuff like that, you know, there is a level of surrealism where to take yourself out of it. But like I said, I'm forensics, you know. I overstudy and just like, okay, so if it is fantasy, make it obvious fantasy.
Right.
Because one thing, you know, concerns me is like, you know, if somebody takes up a martial arts or another discipline, going in and thinking that they'll be able to fight like they fight on TV, and if you have an incredible school, you know, what we call a belt factory school, where they just take their money and say, yeah, you're the best, oh, look at this, how you can fight, and getting seriously hurt if they do not know what they're doing.
Yeah. Were you ever in a fight on the streets?
Not in the street, but there was one time I was at a vacation house, and a certain gentleman who was much bigger than me would not leave.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had our girlfriends in the house, and so I placed a strategically placed wrist lock on him, and it was amazing how easily he was to escort out. But that's about it that I've used. Yeah. I use it more mentally. I usually... You know, you relate to this. So I look at situations before they happen and avoid them. But
that's the high form, you know, when we're doing actual kung fu. The first law is awareness. The second law is avoidance. You don't. If I do punch you, don't be where I'm punching you. But now the question is, when you're a stuntman, you do what you're told to do.
Absolutely.
And you don't say, it might work better if you do this, right? You don't do that.
What I say is, may I make a suggestion?
Yeah, there.
If they are open open to it, then I give it. And they say, no, I want this type of style, then I leave it at that. That's how I approach that. I let them know ahead of time. Because a lot of times, too, with many martial arts and other disciplines, you don't want to telegraph, you know, your moves. Where it's just the opposite in movies, where you need, you know, for entertainment purposes, you do need, like, you need that, you know, big roundhouse kick to the head, which I would never do in a regular situation if I had to do it. But that's what, you know, it's a visual medium. Movie is a visual medium, so they have to see that stuff. Otherwise, it's just like, oh, what they do, you know, you can just, like, blow the film and have the same effect.
Right.
So there is a compromise, but a movie is a director's medium. So in my experiences, I've always, like, talked to the director first. And a lot of, and I have to say, almost all the time, they're like, okay, let me see what you had in mind.
Right.
Okay, can you do it this way? And I go, okay, I would do that. You know, in reality, somebody would not do that. Like, yeah, but, you know, this is a film, and we're trying to sell it. And
now, on films, you have more time than you have on television. Right, you have time to work out the fight scene more. You have time
to film it.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. There have been times where I get there and I was like, okay, they didn't talk to me ahead of time. And so, oh, they must have what they want. And they will just go, okay, here's who you're fighting. Come up with a fight scene. We'll be back in a half hour.
Okay.
Hamina, hamina, hamina. Okay. So then I ask them, okay, do you want campy? Do you want realistic?
Right.
Do you want brawl? Do you want martial arts? You know, what would you like? You know, I'll specify. Like, there was one movie. It was actually a very fun shoot. Mm-hmm. And actually, I got all my different martial arts friends who had, like, been to stunt camps, too, to do it. And basically, we did all the e-puns that we have in my dojo. I should say my sensei's dojo. And I just strung those together, you know, and it looks fun on film. It was actually a fantasy film, so it sort of lent itself, you know.
Can you name it?
Name the film?
Yeah.
It was called G-I-O.
Okay.
G-I-O. It's in black and white. You can find it on YouTube.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm forgetting how to pronounce the writer and director's name. She was an NYU student at the time.
Oh, there you go. Sure. Don't worry.
But you can find it. Yes, and I did that with fellow stuntman and actor Pete Pissarro.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked on, oh my God, I'm forgetting. Oh, Alzheimer's. Oh, yeah, I hate it. I hate having Alzheimer's. Every day's a brand new day, though.
Yeah. Good joke. Anyway, so you do take martial arts. What martial arts do you take?
I do a style called Thai Kempo. Mm-hmm. It's an old hybrid brought over to America by Russell Suzuki.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mixture of Kempo and Taekwondo, but it's very heavily in Kempo. Mm-hmm. So it's not the block and punch type of martial arts. It's like lots of fan blocks, redirection, that kind of style. All of our katas are Muay Thai, is Korean.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been studying that now for 20 years.
20 years,
Under Kiyoshi George Santiago.
Right.
And he had learned under Shidoshi Ed Gross, and he had learned under Russell Suzuki.
There we go. All right, the old lineage again.
Yes.
I was talking to a bunch of people here about the nature of lineage. But that's super cool. Do you now that you're in film and in television, do you still keep up with television movies?
Not as much. In all honesty, I don't find a lot of television as entertaining as it used to. Even though I love Walking Dead. Even though, okay, I hate to diss anything.
I like this.
When I see the martial arts that they do use in Walking Dead, I just, like, the bow staff is way too small that they're using.
Yeah.
Sorry. Even though I'm sure in the zombie apocalypse it's going to
You're in a safe place here.
It's going to be hard to find a bow staff the proper size.
No, it's going
to
be extremely easy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you have your pick of the litter, I guess.
Yeah, really.
You know, and what is it? They're doing Aikido, but I think they foresaw it not looking the best, and they said, okay, he wasn't a master in Aikido, but he just learned the basics of it, and
that's good.
Yeah, it's like, okay. But I let me correct myself.
All right.
The first season of Daredevil.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that hallway fight scene.
Yeah.
That went straight through. There was no cuts. There was no that hall. Blew me away.
Inspired by homage of a movie called Old Boy, which
yes.
is a Korean film, which a lot of people have been borrowing from, which is all that one shot down
yes.
a hallway. And if you haven't seen Old Boy, listener, of course, I imagine the listener to this has seen Old Boy, do watch it. You could probably find that fight scene specifically on YouTube, the hallway fight scene in Old Boy. Not
yes.
the American one, not
yeah.
the American remake of Old Boy,
yeah,
the
I didn't
original Korean
yeah.
one. So Daredevil had some nice stuff, but then the fights in Daredevil, which I think I've mentioned on the podcast before, become very generic to the point where you can't really distinguish between the hero and the villains. Everybody fights exactly the same. That's been my most consistent issue in these episodes where I'm talking about. I'm getting tired of movies where you really can't, it wouldn't matter if you switch the lead and the villain because they fight exactly the same
yes.
way. And, you know, it's the same thing with the women on Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., Ming-Na on Agent
yes.
of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
fights the same way as the guys do. There's no difference. And the same thing with Iron Fist so far, although I have said I have not watched every episode of Iron Fist yet.
Oh, is it on Netflix already?
Netflix now.
Oh,
it was,
wow.
It downloaded on the 17th of March.
Now I have something to do next
Let's
weekend.
Let's all go home.
If I have free time, there's one thing known as free time.
Between all the things that you do at this point, you're still teaching, you're still tunting, you're still writing, right?
Yes, all of the above.
So what's coming up for you?
Well, actually, in 2 weeks, I'm off to the Garden State Film Festival.
Ah, yes.
My short film called Power of Prayer is filming. Don't let the name be deceived. It's a social satire film, but that's going to be viewing at the Garden State Film Festival. And then later on in April, I'm going to be playing a DNA professor in the movie Nick and Nikki.
DNA professor?
Yes. It's a throwback to the old Nick and Nora Charles movies produced by Patrick Atwood.
Right.
And I get to play a nerdy scientist. I'm so excited because at this point in my life, I used to play nothing but henchmen. Now I play nothing but police detectives. And now I get to play a nerd. I'm so excited to play a nerd.
Oh, that's awesome. But you're not no action in that one.
No action in that one. Actually, I consulted forensically for the film.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
And I'm getting to then play a nerdy DNA professor.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, this has been a pleasure. It's great to catch up with you.
Oh, pleasure's
all
mine, sir.
And, you know, I'd like to end this up with, I always have a catchphrase. I have a sign-off. And the sign-off is, use your blinkers, jackass. So on the count of three, let's both do my sign-off. You ready? Here we go. One, two, three.
Use your blinkers, jackass.
Okay, break it up. Break it up. For now.
You don't give up, do you?
Listen in next time for more film fun, frenzy, and friends. Until then, check out actionfilmautopsy.com, where the excitement never ends.